So my name's Lucy, and thank you to Susan for introducing me. And I'm a geriatric trainee and one of the Dunhill Research Training Fellows as of this year. And I'm going to talk to you about my fellowship today, which is the Cognition and Flow Study. So the background to this study is that we've currently got about 46 million people worldwide living with dementia, but in clinic I feel like I spend a lot of time not really being able to offer them very much at all in terms of good treatments or good diagnostics. You might have seen a lot of things in the news recently. There's a lot of controversy around brain training. Does it work? Doesn't it work? And I think we're all still not really sure about that. So brain training, on the whole, it has a few side effects, but there aren't very many studies looking at mechanisms or how it might work, how stimulation of the brain actually might be beneficial for people, either healthy or those with memory problems. And a particular interest of mine is brain blood flow, so I'm interested in how changing or altering brain blood flow might be beneficial in preventing or treating early dementia. And the picture on the left is just to demonstrate how tightly related blood vessels and brain cells are, and that any issues or problems in that blood vessel is going to have quite serious consequences for the brain cells. And that's one of the reasons why I'm quite interested in it. So the aims of this study really were, first and foremost, was to identify the feasibility of this. So I'm trying to get all the cogs of this study together to work, to look at how we can measure sort of changes or stimulation in brain blood flow using something like brain training. I also wanted to identify if there's any clinical benefits, because a lot of the studies that have been done, they haven't been particularly good. There's quite a lot of problems with them. And we're still a bit unclear about whether brain training is something that might be useful for older adults. And then I'm interested in sort of more qualitative measures, so any patient or carer benefits or harms potentially that aren't measured by a lot of these traditional sort of quantitative measures that we use. So for the study methods, I'm looking to recruit 60 people, so 20 healthy older adults and 40 people that either have mild cognitive impairment or a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And I try to adopt a wide range of outcome measures to try and capture lots of different sort of benefits or harms for people. So one of them is a brain blood flow assessment, which I'll talk you through in a second, but also looking at any improvements in memory, sort of their mood, quality of life, and also their day-to-day activities. So this is a sort of flow chart of where I am in the study at the moment. So I've got all the regulatory approvals, and I'm onto the recruitment side now. So I've almost completed the healthy older arm of my study. They've all gone through baseline assessments and brain training control, and they're coming back for their follow-ups at the moment. So I'm hoping to have some results of that through soon. I've got my patient arm running at the moment. That's going to run for a little while longer, because if anyone's ever done dementia recruitment to studies, it's quite difficult. When they've come back, I'm going to be doing a qualitative sub-study to interview people and find out whether they enjoyed it, whether it was stimulating, or whether it was actually a bit more burdensome, and really who might benefit from this. So for the blood flow assessment, we're quite fortunate in Leicester to have a technique called, it's got a bit of a mouthful, transcranial Doppler ultrasonography, or TCD for short. It's an ultrasound-based technique, and actually patients quite like it, especially people that have memory problems, because you don't put them through a scanner. It's not noisy and it's not loud, and I can talk to them while I'm doing it. So I find that it's actually pretty good for patients with dementia. It's quite safe and simple to do. And I do two different types. I do a resting measurement where I just look at blood flows while people are relaxing, and then I give them tasks and I try to stimulate the brain and see what their blood flow does in their brain whilst they're thinking. And the picture on the left is a picture of us doing sort of a setup of a study with a healthy volunteer, and in the bottom is the picture that I get of the blood flow recording continuously whilst they're thinking and doing things. In terms of the brain training program, that's basically like a partnership that I have with a commercial company who've developed this training program. They've never really tested it in people with dementia before, people with memory problems, and the information about healthy older adults is somewhat limited, so I thought it might be a good opportunity for us to do a bit of independent research on that. I'm targeting the same five areas I'm looking at in the blood flow assessment, and my training participants are doing five sessions a week for hopefully 30 minutes for 12 weeks. So it's an intensive-ish programme, and that's partly why we need the qualitative work to see whether that's actually feasible or not. The picture of the fish is just an example of one of the games. So you have to try and feed all the fish and remember which fish you fed and which fish you haven't fed. So it sort of ramps up in difficulty and can be quite hard. So where I am at the moment, I've currently got 20 of the healthy older adults enrolled and 13 patients. I've got a few more in the pipeline to come through, and this is aiming to complete next April. And the plan would be, depending on the feasibility, is looking at how we might be able to scale this to a larger trial and who might benefit from these kind of interventions. So in summary, brain blood flow is becoming increasingly important in the development of early dementia, and we need more work around this. And brain training, there's a lot of interest about it potentially having the ability to delay onset or improve function and those sort of things. But again, we need more research in and around that. So I want to say thank you for listening. And I haven't got a slide as such for why I love working with older people. But I think just going a bit back to what Emily said, I remember being at medical school and there not being an awful lot in the curriculum about geriatrics. In fact, as a medical student, I'm probably somewhat ashamed to say that we used to try and avoid a lot of the older people, especially with dementia, lots of health problems, and mainly because it was difficult and it was complicated, and I couldn't do my standard chest pain history, you know, with those patients. But I think over time, I sort of realised and started to appreciate the complexity and actually found it more rewarding and challenging than trying to do my standard chest pain history. And I remember a GP once sort of saying to me, have you ever thought about geriatrics? and the more she sort of mentioned that, the more I thought about it. The other reason that I really like working with older people is I do feel that they're often have been a forgotten part of society, and they often used to call geriatrics the sort of the Cinderella specialty, because people didn't used to want to do it. But I think it's growing, and I think we're starting to spread the enthusiasm for the work, and we're starting to become advocates and empowering really for older people, and I just want to continue a lot of that good work that's already been done. So thank you very much.